My family on my mother's side and my father's side have been in Texas for a very, very long time. I could trace my mother's ancestry on one side back to the 1820s, before Texas is Texas, before, you know, it's a part of its own republic, before it becomes a state. And on my father's side, back to the 1850s. So most of my family still lives there. My family did not join the black diaspora that left the South and went north. They mainly stayed in Texas. So it was a story about, or is a story about, the family with these kinds of deep roots and where I grew up, the small towns where I grew up. One of which, well, both of them actually, were pretty tough on, you know, in terms of race. There had been lynchings there. A man was burned at the stake
Just for our
on courthouse
foreign
square.
audience, when you talk about lynching and a man burned at the stake, how long ago was that?
The man born, I was about to say, the man, the lynchings went throughout the 40s and, you know, 1940s. The man was burned at the stake in the 1920s, the late 1920s on Courthouse Square in Conroe, Texas, which is what I'm talking about. And it's a place that has a tough racial history. That's not that long ago,
It's
if you
not
think
that long
about
ago.
it. Not that long ago. That's medieval sounding, right? But it's right there in my hometown. And in the mid-60s, my parents decided to send me to be the first black child to enter a white school in my town. So I talk about the history to try to give people a perspective on what it was like, you know, what that decision was like and what, how momentous that was. This is 10 years after Brown versus Board of Education, which outlawed segregation in public schools. But the school was resisting. The school districts in the South and other places were resisting that, and mine as well. But they came up with something called a Freedom of Choice Plan, which meant that white parents were supposed to pick white schools and black parents were supposed to pick black schools. And my mother and father decided to pick a white school for me to go to. I think they were caught up in the civil rights movement at that time. We had the Civil Rights Act, the March on Washington a year before, the Civil Rights Act of 64, the Voting Rights Act. All of those things were happening around that time. And so this was their bid to make a contribution to the civil rights movement. And so at 6 years old, I went to Anderson Elementary School, which was all white, and began my career in education there, you could say.
How was that for you? Your experience, were the kids nice to you, or how was it?
Some of them were nice, and some of them were not nice. I think some of them, sort of taking their parents' prejudices, their family's prejudices, were hostile to me. There was a category of people who would be nice to me at school, but if I saw them in town, they would be, you know, cold. They wouldn't respond because I think they knew that if they acted friendly towards me, their parents and family would be upset. So it made me think about race very early on.
Your book, it deals with history, but it also, you know, with the civil rights and with you know, U.S. Black history, but it also is your personal story. You think that was the big appeal of your book?
The New York Times did make On Juneteenth the best book, name it one of the best books of the year, and it sold very, very well and got really, really great reviews. I do think it's the personal side of it, the personal touch in there, because people can relate. You know, you're thinking about what would it be like to be a 6-year-old and that kind of circumstance and the intensity of it and other things that I talk about in the book. It's very accessible.